For the last 25, 26 years, I've worked for AISD. I was a truant officer before that for 23 years and then took this job over as the homeless liaison for the last four. How are you? It's neat to see people you know. Then it's like scary to see people you know. But worked a lot with Heather as a social worker for our program. And about 4 years ago, when I took over, kind of the reason I'm even telling you this is where we began. She had always done great work with them. The guy that was before me did great work in identifying folks. But that's kind of where it stopped, except what Heather decided to do. And then I took it, and for those of you that are in Abilene, Christian Service Center burned down. Before that, I would go with Heather several times. We would go and get clothes and get some different basic needs. Well, it burned down, and guess what? Heather and I went, now what are we going to do? She says, Darren, you know some people. I know some people. Let's talk to some different folks and see what we can do. And the last 4 years, it has exploded into, as you put it, a one-stop shop. One of our goals is to have a family come in, and within an hour, we've met every need they have to keep them from going to school. And that's the paperwork, clothing, shoes, socks, underwear, uniforms for our middle school kids, and so forth. And so, this year, 16,390 students enrolled. 72% of those in Abilene are free or reduced lunch. 1,495 2 years ago was classified as homeless. This past year, 1,395. Did we do better? No, we had a lot of new people in on our staff, and I think we got lazy and we didn't qualify everyone that needed to be. Heather works with all of these unaccompanied youth. 2 years ago was 382. This past year was 383, and it just keeps going up and up and up. Vast majority of those are doubled up. Under the McKinney-Vento Act, students who lack a fixed, regular, nighttime shelter may qualify for our services. That also says if you are possibly about to be homeless, or it looks like you could be homeless in the near future, we can give them services. Breakdown. A lot of doubled up students, 12 out of the 1,395, 1,236. Several in shelters, motels, if they're in motels. Also, some of those in that were unsheltered. When you start looking at some of the unsheltered, you had pre-K all the way down to 12th grade that were out on the streets. And so two pre-Ks on the streets is way too many for the size of Abilene. Unaccompanied youth, you can tell 383. The breakdown kind of goes across the board there. Identification. That's one of the things that we have tried to bring to AISD to be more and more important, because if they're not identified, we can't help them. And so we've really been pushing to meet the basic resources, all the documentation that they need to enroll, school supplies, transportation, and it just goes on and on and on. Tell you a quick story. Not quite to you, huh? You just kick me when it's your turn. No, don't kick me, because you probably will anyway. When I first started, one of the stories that sticks out, had a man student that we set up a bus to keep her in the same school, our school of origin. And I got a phone call on a Thursday evening, and it was Renee McAden, our director of transportation, and I've known her for a long, long time, and she was mad as a hornet. Now, I think part of that was I used to officiate basketball, and the first time I ever met her, I gave her a technical, and I think she still held that over. She was still mad, but I don't know. But she said, Darren, when I first told you, when you took this job, we were not going to give transportation just to anywhere. It has to be point A to point B, and then from B back to A. That's it. I said, well, Renee, let me find out. I don't even know what you're talking about, because I do the paperwork. A lot of times I don't even meet the kids. I go by paperwork, talk on the phone, talk to the school, get things set up. Went over to man, talked to the little girl about this tall. And I told her, I said, hey, I told your mom, whenever I set up this bus, you have to go A to B and B back to A. He said, but Mr. Cox, I don't really know. Sometimes my mom is not at home. Sometimes she's high on drugs. Sometimes she's gone. And so when I get on the bus, I walk down the aisle and I say, can I stay with you? Or can I stay with you? And whoever says yes first is where she stayed. And so when we were getting started, there was a lot of things that really hit me hard, because being a truant officer, there was a lot of things that I kind of went, figure it out, get to school. Or you deal with that, you get them clean clothes. That's not that hard. I was doing it. I was a single dad back then. But now it's hit me home. So I go back and I called Renee on the phone, both of us crying. And she said, don't worry about it, Darren. We'll get her a bus wherever she needs to go. And it's day after day we have those situations. Transportation's not gotten much better, but we work hard to get our kids. We do a lot of things with our kids. A lot of these sides, I'm not going to go through them because I don't think that's the big important thing. A lot of the things we do, I go and talk to a lot of teachers, a lot of different organizations in town. We try to make the awareness high. And in Abilene, 4 years ago, we fought being listed as homeless. Our kids were, I heard it all the time. Those kids aren't homeless. They've got a place to go. There's 15 of them in one room, but it's okay. But now we're getting the ball rolling. A lot of the community collaboration, we've been to all over the place to just make our community aware. Some of you have been in several places I've talked to, I've begged, I've pleaded, and you know, no one ever turns me down. Dave does every once in a while, but not that often. He always tries to take care of me. We're on a lot of different advisory boards. We do a lot of different community activities, and I'll tell you, I think one of the things is we allow our community to be a part of what we're trying to do. So, if you can see that picture, it's kind of dark, sorry. 2 years ago, we didn't have very many jackets. We got on TV, we asked for jackets. We got on Facebook, we asked for jackets. I have two rooms now like this that are just as full as they can be, and we're starting to hand those out. Even though it's about 105 outside, we're still handing jackets out. They're all over the place. We use a lot of social media. We have underwear, socks. Every student that comes into our office gets a new pack of underwear, a new pack of socks. And then if they need something else, we take care of them. Lots and lots of underwear and socks. I'm a member of the Kiwanis here in town. I've partnered with the Junior League. I've partnered with Target. Target, every 2 weeks or so, brings me about 4 to 6 big boxes of stuff they've just taken off the shelves, put it in there, and haul it to me. So it's all brand new. It's pretty neat. This was a group of ladies that put together some of our uniform shirts, and it's just, this is what's said here. But it's just so important to make these young people feel special. Baseball, little league teams come down. A lot of different civic groups donate blankets, clothes, help me sort clothes. I had a group last night. It's always important to do good for others. It will come back to you in unexpected ways. I'm blessed every day. One of our churches here in town, we do a backpack program that we filled 386 backpacks this year. Yes, I'm going through it quick because, Heather, I want you to speak. This was McMurray. Maybe we can get ACU to jump on board sometime. But, no, they do. Just kidding. I'll show you ACU in a second. This was all their athletic staff that came down. There was about 60 of them. We sorted clothes, straightened up clothes, everything else. See? They did 68 hours of volleyball, solid, donated me the funds. Anyone have an idea of how much? Just a guess. 68 hours. That was close. $5,000. We were close. Maybe you'll be on that next time and we'll get more. We'll tell them. Taylor County Welfare collected a bunch of shoes for us, used us, and gave half of the shoes to us. We have a lot of smaller groups that just, they jump in and help. These are two special young ladies. They decided instead of birthday presents, all the people, they threw a big party, but everyone had to bring packages of underwear and socks to get to their party instead of bringing presents. And I thought that was really neat. Clothing, we have it. We have a lot. We have about three rooms full of clothes, and probably about 60% are brand new now, and we're going up in that. Bags and bags and bags. Right now, it stops about right here, and it goes up because I'm behind, because August was very busy. This is our main room. Sorry, you probably can't see over me, but you've seen it. We have tubs full of different sizes, jeans, underwear, shoes all along the side over there. One of our churches, Beltway, does a yearly new shoe drive, and we get about 600 to 800 pair of new shoes every year right around Christmas. It's all sorted by size and gender. I rely on volunteers. This is our staff, and we have our two interns with us today. But we don't always have interns, and so we rely on ourselves to sort and volunteers to come and help. Came up with the help team, removing barriers one at a time. And what's neat, I really like this, and the reason I show this slide, is this is what I get to be called for AISD. Because it is a ministry, but they do allow us to continue to be called a ministry. What's neat is we have youth groups come down and we talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it. They go home and tell their parents. They go home and tell friends. And a lot of times it's the friends they know that they end up helping each other. We have younger groups that come down all the time that sit around, and I love listening to the stories. Very fascinating. Youth groups that put together backpacks full of school supplies. We went to Walmart several times, stood out in front, handed out cards, and they brought us school supplies after school supplies. Then we have educational barriers. And she's not one of them, but you're an educational barrier. No.
Okay, so these are the things that we try to do. Like you said, I'm the McKinney Vento social worker. My focus is the unaccompanied youth. So my students are the ones that are in these homeless situations without their parents or legal guardians. So they may be kicked out, or maybe mom went to jail, or parents got divorced, and you know, whatever happened, they're not with their parents. So I become their adult for all of those high school students. I call the middle school and the elementary students. I call whatever adult they're living with. But the high school kids, I see and I do case management for them on campus at school. So these are the things that keep kids from school. You know, they don't have that support from a caring adult. Transportation, they're missing credits for classes that they took because maybe they had to move, or they can't get to school enough, and so they don't get credit. Because if you miss more than 9 days of school, even if you get 100 in that class, they can deny your credit if those aren't excused absences. So school supplies, of course, basic needs, food, clothing, hygiene items. If you don't have food or you're worried about, you know, your clothes stink, you're not going to school, especially if you think about a high schooler and, you know, bullying and all of that. Even if you're in nice clothes and everything, you know, if you're not, it just gets a lot worse. Medical and mental health support, if you're sick, you know, if I'm sick, I don't want to go to school already, but if I've been sick for the last week and I can't go to the doctor, it just makes it worse. employment. A lot of the unaccompanied, you know, they're working and that kind of thing. I don't know how to use that. So I provide case management. Let's think. They all get free meals. All of the homeless students automatically get free meals. The school district has this backpack program now, and I think he's going to talk about that later. I help the unaccompanied apply for food stamps. One great thing is that you don't have to be 18 to get your own food stamp case. So if I go meet a 15-year-old that's living with her boyfriend and his parents, she can get her own case. So when they kick her out because they're tired of her being in their house, she gets to take that food stamp card with her to whatever friend she gets to go to next. And then if we have an emergency situation, we'll just go buy the food. I've had several. I remember one, the kid called me, and he's like, it's, I don't know, Friday night. And he's like, hey, we don't have any food in the house, and my nieces and nephews are hungry, and I'm diabetic, and I need something to eat. I'm not feeling well. So me and my husband went and bought food and took it to them and that kind of thing. And it happens a lot more than people think. People think, oh, kids don't have to deal with those issues, but they really do. It's not just adults, unfortunately. Care packs. Do you want to talk specifically about the care pack?
I can tell them.
Okay. This is all the volunteers. They're doing backpacks, and they're sending them home with kids on Friday, and they bring them back on Monday, and that's just all the volunteers that he's had. So like I said, I do case management. I meet with the kids at least once a month, sometimes once a week. Depends on the kids and what they need. It's all of the, you know, Abilene High, Cooper, Woodson, and Adams. Last year, I had about 195 that were in high school, and so I'm meeting with about 150 kids a month because people withdraw, people enroll, that kind of thing. We help them get tutoring. They can get tutoring, special tutoring after school, in addition to, of course, Abilene High, Cooper. They have their mega lunch, which is they're all go to lunch at the same time, and they can go talk to teachers at that time also. I become their grown-up. I'm their parent, in a way. We teach them how to take care of themselves in these situations and what to do in their situations, how to keep up with their Medicaid and food stamps, how to make a budget, how to balance a checkbook, or not, nobody uses checkbooks, but y'all know what I meant, an account. How to do those things so that they can function on their own, and in the summertime or when they graduate, they can take care of themselves. We have special programs. We have the organization that does the Christmas gifts is International House of Prayer for All Nations, and they have been doing that for several years, where I go to the students and I'm like, okay, what would you like, what's something you would like for Christmas, what's something that you need, what's something that would be a good gift, and they fill out a form, and we get that, and I go deliver it to them over Christmas break, and that's a lot of fun. The Abilene Wednesday Rotary Club helps pay for all of their caps and gowns. We have a big lunch, and they come, and I think there's a picture. Oh, there it is. Graduation lunch. Sharon's Barbecue donates the food and the room, and they get to hang out for a little while, and then their caps and gowns are paid for. This is graduation rates for homeless students and just across the board for Texas, and then you see for Region 14 is 87 and ours is 83. At Region 14, one thing to notice is that we're the biggest school district, and so a lot of those school districts have like maybe two homeless students or three homeless students. So their rate, you know, they get them all graduated. It's not as big as something as ours would look like. We do hygiene also. These are pictures of people putting together hygiene packs. The first year we got it from the Abilene Realtors Association, and then last year we got some donated from other places, and we bought the bags and put it together. Transportation is hard, like Darren said. They say they're going to Taylor, which is right over there, and they have to move over in the Reagan attendance zone, which is over off of South 14th. They can still go to Taylor. Well, the problem is mom doesn't have a car, so how are they supposed to get to Taylor? And so we can provide a bus. And so we submit that. We also do bus passes and taxi vouchers, and we put gas in a vehicle, you know, that kind of thing. School records are hard to get, but we do help them get that, contacting schools. We help them get birth certificates and Social Security cards and state IDs. Driver's license, like I said, if they've completed driver's ed, because that's really hard. Except once they're 18, they can do the online course for $35.99, and it only takes 6 hours, and they can still get that done. School supplies, we showed you. Even siblings need a little backpack there. Laundry, we had an organization donate. That's why Darren goes out and talks to everybody everywhere, is to see what we can, you know, what can we add, what's something new that we can do. And so we have a washer and dryer, and we've given out soap and all of those things. We've given out gift cards to laundromats to help them pay for that. I don't know if y'all have ever had to do your laundry at a laundromat, but it's expensive and it takes forever. I've definitely been there. We help the students, the unaccompanied, apply for Medicaid. If they're living with a relative, they come in and I can help them apply for that also. We set up appointments. I take them to the doctor. I get them counseling. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that a 16 and 17-year-old, if they're not living with their parents, can consent to their own medical treatment. Unfortunately, doctors don't always know that, and so you have to educate them also. It's in the Texas Family Code. The major problem we have there is that you tell the doctor, you take the papers, you prove that that's legally okay, and they'll tell you, well, it's not our policy because their liability or whatever doesn't allow that. And so sometimes that can definitely be a barrier for medical care. They can consent to their own counseling as well. Employment, we talked about that. We help them get a job. We help them fill out applications. So housing is something Abilene doesn't really have. We have shelters for 18 and up. We have Harmony Family Services, which is a great program, but most of the students staying there are waiting foster care placements. And for students like my students that have been taking care of themselves and they're young adults and they're used to going to work late, coming home late, you know, they have their phone, they're an adult, they're just not quite 18. They don't do well in that environment because they're so strict on the rules because it's a CPS foster care thing. And so they take their phones and they have to go to bed at 9 o'clock and they're not allowed to watch only so much TV and they can get like 2 phone calls a week. I mean, it's very, very strict. And so most teenagers don't do well with that anyways. But if you're taking a teenager that takes care of themselves, that's like asking y'all to be able to follow those rules. And it's not likely to happen for very long. Housing is something that we have been working on for, this is my 9th year, so 9 years. We have a lot of meetings about housings with different groups. We'll have a meeting and the people are fired up and then it kind of goes away because they realize that liability is expensive and they don't know how to handle that or how to deal with it, and so they end up stopping meetings. We have another organization now, the Abilene Homeless Youth Advisory Committee or something along those lines, and we're trying to work on getting a grant so that we can try to start a program, and hopefully that happens, but not yet. We have a program in Abilene trying to get started. Again, it's called Safe Families, and that's a kind of a host home thing, but that's meant to be normally short term. But really there's nothing. And so when we get a kid, that happened last week on Monday, they call me and they say, I have a student and she's 17 and she has to move out of her aunt's house because aunt really doesn't want her anymore. And her only option is to go live with grandma and who has substance abuse and dad who has substance abuse and lives in Buffalo Gap. We don't have a program for that. Or if I have a kid that says, mom kicked me out again because she couldn't find the matchbook, says I moved it, or I left the cabinet doors open, so my friend's mom kicked me out because I'm in her way. And I can call CPS. You know, you have a minor, no house, you can call CPS. But if that CPS officer comes in, that teenager already knows, all I have to do is say I live with so-and-so, and so-and-so is going to say, yeah, I live with them, even though I'm really going to stay in the park, or I'm really going to be at McDonald's all night, or I'm really just going to walk around until the sun comes up. So Abilene needs housing. We're still working on that. Sorry, I got on my soapbox a little bit right there. It's just something that needs to be fixed, which we haven't done yet. But we're working on it. And this is attendance. Is this you? Okay. All right. I don't know how.
So to piggyback on that, Abilene's working on housing. Abilene's trying to get a shelter. The advisory board, the advisory committee she's talking about, we're competing with. We're not a rural community. So we get to compete with Austin. We get to compete with Houston. And so we may not be able to get that. I don't know. But we're still working as hard as we can, because not having a shelter for our kids is just, it's tough, because the both of us get phone calls, such and such, you know. Well, 2 years ago I had a young man that rode to school to Abilene High with his mom, dropped him off, see you later, see you after school. She goes home, gets in a fight with her boyfriend she's living with, ends up finding another boyfriend between picking him up from school, goes to the school to tell him, we broke up, but I'm with someone else, but the only problem is he doesn't want you, so good luck, and drives off. So now you have a 16-year-old going, what do? Where do I go? So they go back into school and they call us, and we're like, So on the 22nd, which is this Sunday, we're launching again in Abilene the Safe Families organization. Over at Hillcrest, we're doing a big launch that we're reaching out to the whole community again to step up, to be a family coach, a family friend, some of those support personnel. That I had a meeting at 12:30 over at Hillcrest. It was with Nathan Burrow, the preaching minister there, and then with Ronica Wargle, who's been hired as the new director for our local Safe Families. And I'll tell you, one of the problems we have, since you got on your soapbox, here's mine. One of the problems we have in the church is we think everyone else is doing it. We think everyone else should be doing it, but guess what? None of us are doing it. We look at each other in church. We high-five each other. We pat each other on the back. But a lot of the times, we're expecting someone else to step up to the plate that we don't go to. And so Sunday, whenever I step in front of that audience, I'm going to challenge Hillcrest. That everyone in the audience, because it doesn't matter how old you are, you can help in some way. Ronica was telling me a story about, she's dealing with a family right now, helping out. She's not doing a host home. They're not taking the child, but they're kind of working around that family. And they have a five-year-old. Last year, we placed a 7-year or 8-year-old with Ronica and her husband, while mom went to rehab and went back home, and they've really stayed in touch and still get the kids every once in a while just to work with those. Said what was really neat this past weekend was Walt, the husband, they went out to the deer lease and was setting up this, and the little boy went with them, but got a phone call that this lady was moving and needed help. So instead of running by the house and dropping them off a little early, called mom and said, we're just going to keep them for a little while. And so they went and helped. Well, what was really neat was the 8-year-old that just received help last year and is still getting help, now is helping this 5-year-old cope with being out on the streets, not having a place to stay. And so what's so important with programs like that is it rubs off. It rubs off. It rubs off on attendance. It rubs off on our kids. We start paying it back to ourselves. Our kids take care of our own kids and things like that. Attendance. Being an attendance officer for 23 years, the only way you can tell, are we doing anything right? 2 years ago, overall attendance was 94.09. Homeless was 90.38. This past year, this was 94.19. We were up to 91.5. If we close that gap, the whole purpose of the McKinney-Vento Act, the whole purpose of our program is to bring everybody up to the same playing field. I mean, we don't buy everybody a brand new house, a brand new car, give them 2 servants, and say, now you can go to school. All we do is give them the food, we give them the clothing, the basic needs, any of those barriers that are in their way, we remove those barriers so they can be just like anybody else. And she steps in as a surrogate mom, dad. We have 2 interns that I can't brag on them enough. They're getting their master's. They're working with us. We're doing some research right now. They are. We're going to find out. We're talking about what we're doing in the schools, but are we really doing it? Where are the services that we're lacking? We can point out a few of them for you already, but they're going to go and find out and talk face-to-face with kids and everything. Shannon is working with me, and she's going to work in the middle schools and do what Heather can't do. She can cover the high schools barely, so Amy's going to help her some. I didn't say a lot. But, you know, going across the middle schools, hopefully maybe some of those things will change before they even get to Heather. So, got about 12 minutes. I've got some stories. But if you have questions, comments. Yes, sir.
2 weeks ago on Friday at Beach Street, breakfast on Beach Street, Bob's, a lady with 2 school-age children came in, asked them where they were in school, and they weren't. I could tell the lady was very uneasy. Suggested they go to AISD and ask for you. But tell me, when someone is homeless, the mother's homeless, and so there's no boundary, there's no school district, what is the enrollment process they're going to hit if the mom's even willing to try and admit she's homeless down there?
If they admit they're homeless, they're out on the streets, where'd you stay last night? If it has to be 241 Pine Street, we'll take you to Taylor. We'll provide you a bus. Whatever we can do, get you enrolled, then we know where those kids are. Okay? We can also get them in our system so that hopefully they can get some help. Then I'm going to get them in contact with Hope Haven, because that's really our mainstay. That's the it, you know. Now, Salvation Army will do the same thing. And so if they're going to stay at Salvation Army, we can get them in there. Then we can get them enrolled in Bowie right there, close, you know. But middle school's same way.
What kind of feeling are they going to get when they first walk into that enrollment office?
If they come see me, they're going to be welcomed with open arms. I'm going to give them a form that has a signature on it, and it's working. They're walking in with that form, and they're fast track to get enrolled in school.
So they're pretty well trained to get to you first.
I think they're doing well. Sometimes they send them down to me too often where they could just do the form and take care of it, but we're working on that too. But overall, that was, you know, 4 years ago, that was one of the things we talked about, being a welcoming district. I mean, we're working on being a welcoming city, welcoming church, but our school district had a lot of places that was lacking. It was like, what do you want? What do you need? Why are you here? No, you need to go down the road. Or you need to run down to the street, do, you know, all these different things. And by that time, maybe they'll get lost and they won't enroll. So we're trying to get through with that. We're trying to end that. Got to have a question for Heather.
I know you have your hands full. I'm an elementary counselor in East Texas in a town of about 13,000, so I deal with this a lot. But do y'all do anything with all the kids that are doubled up with family? I know you have your hands full younger, but we have a lot of families that are, you know, walking in, and they are homeless, according to PEAMS data. I mean, that's homeless, right. But they're doubled up.
Right.
Well, they still get clothes and school supplies, and we help them however they need. If they say they need something and we don't have it in the office, we try to get it. I mean, it's not just the unaccompanied. I go see the unaccompanied, but every single one that gets identified, I call their parent, or the interns do. We call their parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all contacted. They're all told what services are available to them. They're all told, if you need something else, give us a call, and we will try to help you. We want them to know that that's why we're there, is to help them be successful in school and the families to be successful.
In the month of August, we gave out almost 700 backpacks. So when they come in, a lot of those were grandparents coming in. Make sure they have a card, make sure they have a contact, make sure they have the right documentation so that they can get into school and follow through with that. AISD, really neat thing, is hiring 3 full-time social workers to work, and they're going to work in the elementary schools, which is going to help us a ton. And what's really neat about it is they came to Heather and myself and said, what do we do? I've never worked with social workers. I remember when I first started coming out of the social work school, I graduated from here in 89, went to work for probation, then I went to work for AISD, and there was a lady that was in the main office and said, we will never have social workers in our school system. And I would love to go talk to her now, and I might. But they're not hired yet, they're not there, but we're getting there. Because there's such a big difference of that person that can just be there and understand the whole picture, not just school work. Because there's more to getting an education than passing the test or passing a test. Yes, ma'am.
Supplies for everybody. So they're the same. And snacks for everybody.
We can't get the district to go across the board for free meals and free breakfast. Okay? We can't even get there yet because they think they're still going to make some money off of it. But that's recorded, isn't it? Don't share that with anyone. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
So maybe this is more than one part. This may be a two-part question. But, have you been able to, in any kind of way, track the students once they graduate? That's one part of it. And the other part of it is, I feel like them getting out and being able, because there's a large group of unaccompanied youth that become homeless adults, chronically homeless adults. And so is there something that we can do, or what can universities do, like ACU, to help bring those students, bridge the space between graduating unaccompanied and coming to the university?
Well, for one, helping tuition. I mean,
that's
the bell, right? You know, they already get their independence, the unaccompanied are independent students. And so when they fill out their FAFSA, they're not putting parental information on there. It's just there. So they're kind of almost guaranteed a full Pell Grant, mm-hmm. right? So, but if you want to go to a university like ACU, a Pell Grant's not even a drop in the bucket,
yeah.
right? So they can go to Cisco, and most of that is covered, but they can't go to a four-year university off of a Pell Grant. So a lot of them go to Cisco, a lot of them go to the military, they go to full-time jobs. But the other one besides tuition is housing. Mm-hmm. Let them move in the summer. Okay. I had a student this summer that was part of the youth advisory board
committee, and he was living in, he was living with a friend and got kicked out of the friend's house, and he's like, where do I go? And he was like, I mean, I'm going to go, he was planning to go to McMurray. He is at McMurray. And I was like, well, when do you move into the dorms? And he's like, not till August. I said, call McMurray. I said, call McMurray and see if there's anything they can do. And he called me a little bit later and was like, they're putting me in a dorm right now. So that is huge. Last year we talked, was last year, Hardin Simmons?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, Hardin Simmons wanted to do something to help the unaccompanied youth and the housing problem that we have, and kids aging out of foster care as well. And we talked to them about like creating some kind of shelter, maybe like in a dorm that's not being used or something like that. We talked about it, and that's about as far as it went. But I mean,
yeah, we talked about it a lot. They were very, Eric was very behind it, but whenever you lose funding and you get cut, that's the first thing, new projects go away. And so to be able to follow those, I mean, I know we keep up with those that request the forms for us to give to their, you know, campus, knowing they're planning to go, they've enrolled in school to further their education, but to be able to follow those, I don't know how you would go about doing that.
I mean, I can tell you before they graduated, who said they were going to go to college, who said they were going to go to military, who said they had a full-time job.
You know, campuses now, colleges now, are hiring homeless liaisons to deal with that, to tap into the untapped federal funds. I was in a meeting in Houston this summer that we're sending a lot of those federal funds that are designated for Texas because we're not using them. Mm-hmm. They're sending them to Arkansas or whatever because we don't tap into those. And I think it's because we're afraid, and I'm not just ACU, but all campuses are afraid, you know, to use federal funds because then you have all the red tape that comes with it. But I don't think that's the case. I think we just need to investigate more and find out how you get into those free funds for our kids.
Having a home liaison on a college campus, someone to take them from me or in there,
right,
and take over. I can't keep. They ask me. I've had students ask me, "Are you going to still check on me next month?" You can call me if you need something.
Yeah.
Call me. They have my number. But
I had two kids come back and got school supplies for college this year. So hey, come on.
Do you work much with? I'm sorry. Do you work much with?
That's two questions.
It's about three. Do you work much with Homeward Upward Bound?
Upward Bound program. Is that TRIO?
Yeah.
Yeah. I work with the TRIO person that comes on campus.
Okay.
I know behind Cooper. We are on the same, a lot of times we're there on the same day, and so we know, well, we did know each other. Sheila, Ms. Jackson, right? Cherie?
Okay. Yes.
Heather, you mentioned how much study and thought has gone into some kind of housing for teens and near teens. The safe family thing makes sense with the younger children. What model do you see for the 12 to 17 year old? What model is out there that's working?
I wouldn't go down to 12, but probably
15,
maybe some 14, but I think independent living or even like a, I think independent living, like in maybe like an apartment complex with like a house.
Couple of rent house. Couple of rentals from Dalzell.
Or, I mean, that would work.
So you think they could be treated like homeless adults?
I think they could.
So a program
like
the VA DASH program or something for unaccompanied youth that starting, you're saying, about 14 to 17? Would be a workable model?
I think it would. With the kids that I work with, I absolutely think that the majority of them, if you actually gave them a stable place to live, I mean, obviously you would need, you know, rules, and maybe have, if you had an apartment complex.
But if you treat them like adults, you don't have the right to put rules in.
Yes, you do. There's an in-between. You don't have to treat them like little kids. To, like, there's,
it's not an either or. There's a middle. It's like if you have teenagers at home, I don't treat my 16-year-old.
But I'm looking for who is that rule provider and rule decision-maker.
I think that's where your lease would be. I mean, you have a lease.
We're not going to do it. We're trying that IRC, and we're not doing well with adult refugees.
Right.
I mean, we're struggling, but
sure.
This is a greater issue.
Let's say you have like an apartment complex, right? And not just a landlord, not like a regular landlord, but have somebody there that is there for the youth. Kind of like a house parent, but they have their own space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm looking for the legal model.
A legal model?
Yeah, because somebody has to be able to enforce that.
It's
yeah.
in the
but,
lease.
But there's no...
You would have to put it, be able to put it in... Okay, I have kids. I have arranged meetings with students that needed somewhere to stay and other individuals that I know. And the way that they arrange this and make it work is they tell them, okay, for you to, I have this space, and for you to live there, you have to follow these rules. And this is just, you know, your job is to go to school. You can come and go as you please, as long as you keep me informed on what's going on, that kind of thing. And that's how it works. And I don't know about legal and paperwork and any of that.
She doesn't like legal and paperwork.
No, but that's what that's
right.
where we always
yeah.
hold down.
That's
why
where
don't you just do it?
That's where
that's
part of
do.
That's where part of Safe Families, they have two models.
Formally this summer.
Yes.
And lasted 2 weeks before her husband kicked the kid out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are going to break rules,
yep.
so you got to.
Which
have
is
that, you know, caseworker
that's,
ability.
That's where we have to understand that we're not going to save everyone. We give you an opportunity.
Well,
if you don't take advantage of, if you take advantage of it, then we move on to the next one. So
well,
we're out of time, aren't we?
Sometimes you also have to think about the rules that you're setting. If you're setting rules and expecting them. These unrefined youth to live like a middle class family, that's not going to happen right away. They may be able to get closer to that as the time goes, but they're not going to step in from being, you know, the very bottom and being on the street to step into a middle class family and like blend. It's just
yeah.
not going to work that way.
That's why I'm looking for a model.
There's one in Houston and they're starting it, and it's a host home that. It's the family lives, and it could be a garage apartment or whatever. They've dumped some money into it to where they're paying for that rent for that child, and the only thing they're doing is providing them a shelter. It's not the home and the family and everything else, and it is working, and that's part of what Safe Families, we're doing two models out of that, so we'll see. I'd like to thank all of you. She stood up. She asked three questions. Now she's going to stand up and tell us we're done, but I appreciate it. Thank you.